The Book of Daniel, number 166, Unraveling Prophecy, the French Revolution, Putin's Russia, and the Ukrainian Conflict. Key takeaways. This article delves into the intricate connections between historical events, prophetic interpretations, and current geopolitical realities. It starts by tracing back to the French Revolution of 1789 and its profound impact on shaping subsequent historical developments, particularly in relation to religious and political dynamics. The article then draws parallels between Napoleon Bonaparte and Vladimir Putin, highlighting similarities in their leadership styles and geopolitical ambitions. Furthermore, it explores the significance of the miracle of Fatima in Catholic history and its implications for understanding apocalyptic themes within the Church. Moving forward, the article examines the complex relationship between Catholicism and atheism, as well as the involvement of Nazi Germany as a proxy army in the broader conflict. Against this backdrop, it analyzes the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, unpacking the historical roots of Ukraine's Nazi problem and its implications for the current crisis. While acknowledging the complexity of the situation, the article emphasizes the importance of recognizing historical patterns and understanding prophecy to navigate contemporary events effectively. The French Revolution, starting in 1789, marked a turning point in history, shaping subsequent geopolitical developments and religious dynamics. Napoleon Bonaparte and Vladimir Putin share similarities in leadership style and geopolitical ambitions, both representing leaders of nations established in revolutions. The miracle of Fatima holds significance in Catholic history and has been subject to various interpretations, influencing religious devotion and apocalyptic themes within the Church. The relationship between Catholicism and atheism, as well as the involvement of Nazi Germany as a proxy army, plays a significant role in shaping geopolitical conflicts. The conflict in Ukraine reveals the country's historical ties to Nazi collaborators and the presence of neo-Nazi factions within its borders, adding complexity to the current crisis. Understanding historical patterns and prophecy is crucial for interpreting contemporary events and navigating geopolitical tensions effectively. As we begin to consider the typification of the time of the end in 1989 by the prophetic history of verse 10, it is necessary to drop back into the history of the third generation of both horns of the Earth Beast. In 1913, the Earth Beast's horn of republicanism began its generation of compromise with the globalist banking system, and in 1919, the horn of true Protestantism began its generation of compromise with the theologians of apostate Protestantism, and also the American Medical Association, as it surrendered the accreditation of its educational system to the world. Both horns began a compromised relationship with the world that would change the direction of their respective messages from that point onward. In that history, the starting point for the King of the North and the King of the South of the Last Days also reached a turning point. The miracle of Fatima occurred on October 13, 1917, in Fatima, Portugal. It was the culmination of a series of Marian apparitions witnessed by three young shepherd children, Lucia dos Santos and her cousins Francisco and Jacinta Marto. According to the accounts provided by the children, the Virgin Mary, identified as Our Lady of Fatima, appeared to them on the 13th day of each month from May to October 1917. During the final apparition on October 13, 1917, tens of thousands of people gathered at the Cova da Iria near Fatima, expecting to witness a miracle as predicted by the children. According to the witnesses, the sun appeared to change colors, spin, and dance in the sky. This event came to be known as the Miracle of the Sun, or the Miracle of Fatima. The Miracle of Fatima is a significant event in Catholic history and devotion, and it has been the subject of much study, debate, and religious interpretation over the years. The events at Fatima have had a lasting impact on popular piety, Marian devotion, and the interpretation of apocalyptic themes within the Catholic Church. The Bolshevik Revolution occurred in Russia on November 7, 1917, when Bolshevik forces, led by Vladimir Lenin and the Bolshevik Party, seized key government buildings and infrastructure in Petrograd, now St. Petersburg. This event marked the culmination of the Russian Revolution of 1917, which had begun with the February Revolution earlier in the year that led to the abdication of Tsar Nicholas II and the establishment of a provisional government. During the revolution, the Bolsheviks successfully overthrew the provisional government and established Soviet control over Russia. The Bolsheviks proclaimed the establishment of a socialist state and began implementing their revolutionary program, including the nationalization of industry, land redistribution, and the withdrawal of Russia from World War I. The October Revolution ultimately led to the creation of the Soviet Union and had profound and far-reaching consequences for Russia and the world, shaping the course of 20th century history. Jesus illustrates the end with the beginning. And in order to fully see the King of the North and the King of the South of the last days, it is necessary to understand their beginnings. The literal kings of the South and the North that are identified in Daniel chapter 11 are defined as the power that rules the literal area of Egypt as the King of the South, and the power that rules the literal geographical area associated with Babylon as the King of the North. Literal prophecy transitioned to spiritual prophecy in the time of the cross, when ancient literal Israel was transitioning to modern spiritual Israel. Literal pagan Rome trampled down literal Jerusalem for 3.5 literal years from 67 AD unto 70 AD, and spiritual papal Rome trampled down spiritual Jerusalem for 3.5 spiritual years. Spiritual Babylon is identified in Revelation chapter 17 as the whore who commits fornication with the kings of the earth. Spiritual Egypt is identified in Revelation chapter 11 as atheistic France. The modern manifestations of the spiritual king of the north that received its deadly wound at the time of the end in 1798 and then retaliated against the modern manifestation of the spiritual king of the south at the time of the end in 1989 are both represented in verse 40 of Daniel 11. Both powers have their origins in their last day manifestation in the 1917 to 1918 timeframe, which is the same timeframe as the generation of compromise for both horns of the earth beast. Those beginnings must be recognized to rightly apply the endings. The beginnings of the last day kings of the North and South both start at the French Revolution. In the 16th century, the Reformation, presenting an open Bible to the people, had sought admission to all the countries of Europe. Some nations welcomed it with gladness as a messenger of heaven. In other lands, the papacy succeeded to a great extent in preventing its entrance, and the light of Bible knowledge, with its elevating influences, was almost wholly excluded. In one country, though the light found entrance, it was not comprehended by the darkness. For centuries, truth and error struggled for the mastery. At last the evil triumphed, and the truth of heaven was thrust out. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, John 3:19. The nation was left to reap the results of the course which she had chosen. The restraint of God's Spirit was removed from a people that had despised the gift of His grace. Evil was permitted to come to maturity, and all the world saw the fruit of willful rejection of the light. The war against the Bible, carried forward for so many centuries in France, culminated in the scenes of the Revolution. That terrible outbreaking was but the legitimate result of Rome's suppression of the Scriptures. It presented the most striking illustration which the world has ever witnessed of the working out of the papal policy, an illustration of the results to which for more than 1,000 years the teaching of the Roman Church had been tending. The suppression of the Scriptures during the period of papal supremacy was foretold by the prophets, and the Revelator points also to the terrible results that were to accrue especially to France from the domination of the man of sin. The Great Controversy, 265-266. The French Revolution was produced by the suppression of the Scriptures during the period of papal supremacy. The birth of atheism, which was to become the archenemy of the papacy, was brought about by the papacy itself. The French Revolution took place from 1789 to 1799, but the atheistic revolutionary spirit that began in France continued to spread across Europe and beyond. 18 years after the end of the revolution in France, the Russian Revolution began in Russia. The revolution of atheism that began in France ended in Russia, and in 1917, Russia became the prophetic representative of the nation, symbolized by the atheism of Egypt. The dragon power, represented as the king of the south, had migrated from France to Russia. The revolution in France was represented politically and prophetically by Napoleon Bonaparte. And in that sense, Napoleon represents the first leader of a nation established in a revolution brought about by the atheism of Egypt. The narcissism of Napoleon is fitly repeated by the narcissism of Putin. Napoleon was keenly aware of the power of imagery and propaganda, as is Putin, who was a former KGB officer. The KGB specializes in propaganda. Napoleon used portraiture as a means of projecting his authority, power, and image of leadership to the public. He commissioned portraits from some of the most celebrated artists of his time, including Jacques-Louis David, Antoine Jean Gros, and Jean-Auguste Dominique Ingres, among others. These portraits depicted Napoleon in various poses and settings, ranging from official state portraits to more informal scenes. They served not only as personal mementos for Napoleon himself, but also as tools for spreading his image and influence both domestically and internationally. Putin has accomplished the identical work for himself, with a multitude of pictures of himself in settings that rival any of the modern influencers on the internet. At the beginning of the French Revolution, the king, his family, and staff were overthrown and executed. At the beginning of the Russian Revolution, the Tsar, his family, and staff were overthrown and executed. The revolution that began in France culminated in Russia. The French Revolution is the subject of the prophecy of Chapter 11 of Revelation, and therefore the French Revolution is subject to the rules of prophetic interpretation. Jesus always illustrates the end of a thing with the beginning of a thing, so the Russian Revolution is the end of the French Revolution. Vladimir Putin represents the last leader of a nation established in a revolution brought about with the atheism of Egypt. The first leader of Russia was Vladimir Lenin. The name Vladimir is of Slavic origin and is composed of two elements, Vlad and Mir. Vlad is derived from the Slavic root Vladeti, which means to rule or to wield power. Mir means world. The first Vladimir, Lenin, typifies the last Vladimir, Putin, who is also typified by the first leader of the revolution of atheism, Napoleon. After Napoleon's defeat in the War of the Sixth Coalition and the Treaty of Fontainebleau in April 1814, he abdicated the throne of France and was exiled to the Mediterranean island of Elba. He was granted sovereignty over the island and allowed to retain the title of emperor, albeit in a much reduced capacity. Napoleon spent around 10 months on Elba, during which he made plans to return to power in France. Following his escape from Elba and his brief return to power in France during the Hundred Days, Napoleon was decisively defeated at the Battle of Waterloo in June 1815. After this defeat, the Allied powers, particularly Great Britain, were determined to prevent Napoleon from causing any further trouble. Consequently, he was exiled again, this time to the remote island of St. Helena in the South Atlantic. Napoleon spent the remainder of his life in exile on St. Helena until his death in 1821. Putin is a representative of the Old Guard KGB. The KGB was the main security agency and intelligence agency of the Soviet Union from 1954 until its dissolution in 1991. It was responsible for internal security, counterintelligence, and intelligence gathering both domestically and internationally. The KGB was known for its extensive network of spies, surveillance operations, and its role in maintaining the communist regime's control over the population. Vladimir Putin was a member of the KGB, Committee for State Security, the main security and intelligence agency of the Soviet Union. Putin joined the KGB in 1975 after graduating from Leningrad State University. Putin worked for the KGB until the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991, after which he entered politics and eventually became the president of Russia in 2000. His background in the KGB has had a significant influence on his approach to governance and foreign policy. Napoleon's first exile on the island of Elba represents the history of 1991 until the year 2000, when the philosophy of the KGB returned. When Putin is eventually defeated, as represented in verses 13 to 15, that second defeat, the first being 1989, is typified by Waterloo and Napoleon's second exile, where he died. Napoleon delivered the deadly wound to the papacy in 1798 and 1799. In 1799, the French Revolution ended in France, but by 1917, it had reached Russia in the Bolshevik Revolution. In 1917, the miracle of Fatima took place in Portugal, and the three children who supposedly communicated with Mary and Joseph were given three secret messages. The three messages were secret in the sense they were only to be read by the Pope, the King of the North. The messages directed the Pope to call a special meeting with the leaders of the Catholic Church and hold a special ceremony in order to dedicate Russia, which had just become Communist Russia the year before, to the Virgin Mary. The messages contained a warning that if the Pope refused to follow through on the command to dedicate Russia to Mary, the world would suffer another world war. The First World War was to end the month after the miracle. The messages of Fatima became a structure for conservative Catholic prophetic interpretation. It identified a struggle within the Catholic Church between conservative Catholicism, represented by Pope John Paul II and the First Vatican Council, and liberal Catholicism, represented by the current woke Pope and the Second Vatican Council. In the messages of Fatima, the good Pope was the white Pope, and the bad Pope was the black Pope. The good Pope, Pope John Paul II, was the conservative Pope who identified the Virgin of Fatima as his guiding idol, and the bad Pope is the woke Pope who also rejects any messages from the so-called Virgin Mary. When you visit the shrine in Fatima, Portugal, as you enter the premises, the entrance is set between two giant statues of a black Pope on one side and a white Pope on the other side, thus representing the internal struggle identified in the Fatima prophecies. The other element of the three secret messages of Fatima was its emphasis on the warfare of Catholicism, the King of the North, and atheism, the King of the South. Without recognizing that the warfare of Catholicism and atheistic Russia is a subject of the Satanic prophecy, which directs a large percentage of Catholicism, it is difficult, if not impossible, to understand the support which the Catholic Church provided to Nazi Germany during World War II. The Battle of Leningrad, which lasted from September 8, 1941 to January 27, 1944, during World War II, was one of the longest and most brutal sieges in history. The Battle of Stalingrad, which occurred from August 23, 1942 to February 2, 1943, is often regarded as the bloodiest and most significant battle of World War II. It resulted in immense casualties on both sides, with estimates of over 2 million total casualties, including deaths, wounded, and captured soldiers. The Battle of Stalingrad also marked a turning point in the war, as it resulted in a decisive Soviet victory over the German army and led to the eventual defeat of Nazi Germany. Without recognizing that Nazi Germany's warfare against Russia, particularly in the two battles just cited, it is difficult to understand the role of Germany as the secret ally of the Catholic Church. Without the understanding of the premises of a spiritual war between Catholicism that was motivated by the satanic prophecy of Mary of Fatima against the atheism of Russia and thereafter the Communist Soviet Union, the logic for Catholicism secretly hiding and then transporting Nazi war criminals around the globe post-World War II is missed. The Nazis were Catholicism's proxy army in their struggle against Russia. It is in this prophetic logic that Putin, the head of atheistic Russia, is involved in a war in the Ukraine, whose leaders are openly known to be Nazis. The ground troops of Fatima's war against atheism, from World War II and onward, is fascism and Nazism. Of course, even though this reality of the leaders of the Ukrainian government is well documented, the modern manifestation of Hitler's Reich, Ministry of Public Enlightenment and Propaganda, the mainstream media, has covered these facts as best they could. The name Ukraine is derived from the Slavic word Ukraina, which means borderland or the edge. The term historically referred to the border regions of the Kievan Rus, the medieval state that preceded modern-day Ukraine, and is situated on the crossroads between Eastern Europe and Eurasia. Throughout history, it has served as a meeting point between various cultures, civilizations, and empires, including the Byzantine Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the Russian Empire, and others. Its strategic location made it a frontier region that experienced significant cultural, political, and military interactions. During the medieval period, Ukraine was the border region of the Kievan Rus, which was a powerful state that encompassed parts of modern-day Ukraine, Russia, and Belarus. As the Kievan Rus expanded and contracted over time, its borders often shifted, and Ukraine remained on the periphery of the state. After the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1989, as represented in verse 10, verses 11 and 12 identify a battle where the king of the south retaliates and prevails over the king of the north. That battle was fought at Rafia, which was the borderline of the domains of the king of the south and the king of the north. The Battle of Rafia, which took place in 217 BC, comes from the name of town near which the battle occurred. Rafia was a town located in the coastal region of ancient Palestine, near the border between the Ptolemaic Kingdom of Egypt and the Seleucid Empire. At the time of the battle, the border between the Ptolemaic Kingdom of Egypt, ruled by King Ptolemy IV Philopator, and the Seleucid Empire, ruled by King Antiochus III, was located in the vicinity of Rafia. The battle was fought near this border region, as both sides sought to assert control over strategic territories in the Levant. The ancient town of Rafia is located near the modern city of Rafah. Rafah is a city situated in the southern Gaza Strip, which is part of the Palestinian territories. After Ptolemy's victory at Rafia in 217 BC, he initiated persecutions against the Jews in Jerusalem and also in Egypt. The victory was short-lived, and he met his Waterloo, so to speak, in the next three verses. In verse 13, the previously defeated king of the north returns, and by verse 15, he overwhelms the king of the south. The victory of Putin in the Ukraine will be used by Putin, a former KGB officer who specialized in propaganda, to most likely expose the Nazi roots of the Ukrainian leadership, and also expose those in the Western world who supported the regime for economic greed, and no doubt also expose the hidden black sites and biolabs employed by the globalists, which have been funded by the taxpayers of the United States. Those revelations will destroy the current talking points of the world globalists and also of the democratic talking heads in the United States. That victory for Putin will provide the mandate for the eighth president, that is of the seven, to take his role as the prophetic despot that arrives into history just before verse 16, and verse 16 is the soon coming Sunday law. In verse 13, the king of the north regroups his army, and in verse 14, pagan Rome is introduced into history for the first time, though it is not yet the king of the north. It is there identified as the symbol which establishes the vision and as the power who exalts himself and then falls. After the victory of Putin in the war in the Ukraine, the papacy will begin to lift itself up into world politics, just in advance of the Sunday law in verse 16. The French Revolution and its connection with the Russian Revolution, Napoleon and Putin, the miracle of Fatima and its three secrets, the secret alliance between the Vatican and Hitler, the secret alliance between the Vatican and Reagan, are all prophetic wheels that intersect in the history of verses 11 through 15, which occurred during the history of September 11, 2001, until the Sunday law in the United States. It was important to provide a brief summary of these prophetic wheels before we take up verse 10. The following article is taken from NBC News, which is as mainstream media as it gets, and the MSM is the modern version of Hitler's World War II propaganda machine. The article is, of course, anti-Putin, anti-Russian, and pro-Ukraine, but that is not the point. As citizens of the heavenly kingdom, God's people should not endorse either side of a satanic work, and all warfare is a satanic work. The purpose of this article is to allow those who are unfamiliar with the prophetic warfare between Catholicism, the King of the North, and atheism, the King of the South, and the fact that in the warfare of those two prophetic powers, Nazism has been employed as Catholicism's proxy army, just as the United States was used in 1989. Students of prophecy need to have enough evidence to see that the background history of World War II and of the Cold War are represented in the current war in Ukraine, as it fulfills verses 11 and 12 of chapter 11 of Daniel. Historical events showing the direct fulfillment of prophecy were set before the people, and the prophecy was seen to be a figurative delineation of events leading down to the close of this earth's history. Selected Messages, Book 2. Ukraine's Nazi problem is real, even if Putin's denazification claim isn't. NBC News article. Of the many distortions manufactured by Russian President Vladimir Putin to justify Russia's assault on Ukraine, perhaps the most bizarre is his claim that the action was taken to denazify the country and its leadership. In making his case for entering his neighbor's territory with armored tanks and fighter jets, Putin has stated that the move was undertaken to protect people who have been subjected to bullying and genocide, and that Russia will strive for the demilitarization and denazification of Ukraine. Putin's destructive actions, among them the devastation of Jewish communities, make clear that he's lying when he says his goal is to ensure anyone's welfare. On its face, Putin's smear is absurd, not least because Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is Jewish and has said that members of his family were killed during World War II. There is also no evidence of recent mass killings or ethnic purges taking place in Ukraine. Moreover, labeling enemies Nazis is a common political ploy in Russia, especially from a leader who favors disinformation campaigns and wants to stir up feelings of national vengeance against a woe to foe to justify conquest. But even though Putin is engaging in propaganda, it's also true that Ukraine has a genuine Nazi problem, both past and present. Putin's destructive actions, among them the devastation of Jewish communities, make clear that he's lying when he says his goal is to ensure anyone's welfare. But important as it is to defend the yellow and blue flag against the Kremlin's brutal aggression, it would be a dangerous oversight to deny Ukraine's anti-Semitic history and collaboration with Hitler's Nazis, as well as the latter-day embrace of neo-Nazi factions in some quarters. Why are fleeing Ukrainians being talked about with such sympathy? They are white. On the eve of World War II, Ukraine was home to one of the largest Jewish communities in Europe, with estimates as high as 2.7 million, a remarkable number considering the territory's long record of anti-Semitism and pogroms. By the end, more than half would perish. When German troops took control of Kiev in 1941, they were welcomed by Heil Hitler banners. Soon after, nearly 34,000 Jews, along with Roma and other undesirables, were rounded up and marched to fields outside the city on the pretext of resettlement, only to be massacred in what became known as the Holocaust by Bullets. The Babyn Yar Ravine continued to fill up as a mass grave for 2 years. With as many as 100,000 murdered there, it became one of the largest single killing sites of the Holocaust outside of Auschwitz and other death camps. Researchers have noted the key role locals played in fulfilling Nazi kill orders at the site. Nowadays, Ukraine counts between 56,000 to 140,000 Jews who enjoy freedoms and protections never imagined by their grandparents. That includes an updated law passed last month criminalizing anti-Semitic acts. Unfortunately, the law was intended to address a pronounced uptick in public displays of bigotry, including swastika-laden vandalism of synagogues and Jewish memorials, and eerie marches in Kiev and other cities that celebrated the Waffen-SS. In another ominous development, Ukraine has in recent years erected a glut of statues honoring Ukrainian nationalists whose legacies are tainted by their indisputable record as Nazi proxies. The Forward newspaper cataloged some of these deplorables, including Stepan Bandera, leader of the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, OUN, whose followers acted as local militia members for the SS and German Army. Ukraine has several dozen monuments and scores of street names glorifying this Nazi collaborator, enough to require 2 separate Wikipedia pages, the Forward wrote. Another frequent honoree is Roman Shukevich, revered as a Ukrainian freedom fighter but also the leader of a feared Nazi auxiliary police unit that the Forward notes was responsible for butchering thousands of Jews and Poles. Statues have also been raised for Yaroslav Stetsko, a one-time chair of the OUN, who wrote, "I insist on the extermination of the Jews in Ukraine." Far-right groups have also gained political currency in the past decade, none more chilling than Svoboda, formerly the Social National Party of Ukraine, whose leader claimed the country was controlled by a Muscovite Jewish mafia, and whose deputy used an anti-Semitic slur to describe Ukrainian-born Jewish actor Mila Kunis. Svoboda has sent several members to Ukraine's parliament, including one who called the Holocaust a bright period in human history. according to Foreign Policy. Just as disturbing, neo-Nazis are part of some of Ukraine's growing ranks of volunteer battalions. They are battle-hardened after waging some of the toughest street fighting against Moscow-backed separatists in eastern Ukraine following Putin's Crimean invasion in 2014. One is the Azov Battalion, founded by an avowed white supremacist who claimed Ukraine's national purpose was to rid the country of Jews and other inferior races. In 2018, the U.S. Congress stipulated that its aid to Ukraine couldn't be used to provide arms, training, or other assistance to the Azov Battalion. Even so, Azov is now an official member of the Ukraine National Guard. For sure, none of this disturbing context justifies the misery that has befallen Ukrainians over the past several weeks, and it's unlikely that Putin was motivated by any of it when he launched his invasion. Indeed, thanks to Putin, Jews living in Odessa, Kharkiv, and other eastern cities are under extreme duress. While many have taken refuge in local synagogues and Jewish centers, others have fled to foreign countries, including Israel, which has urged all Jews to leave Ukraine. My own grandparents themselves had to flee Western Ukraine to escape persecution, and it is tragic to see this cycle continue. If the country devolves into chaos and insurgency, Jews could once again be at risk from some of their fellow citizens. Not acknowledging this threat means that little is being done to guard against it. But even if some elements of the country have been entangled with one of history's most loathsome movements, standing with Ukraine is without doubt the honorable posture to take in this drama. Right now, every day that Putin ratchets up his assault against the Ukrainian people with scorched earth zeal, it's hard not to see who truly deserves the N-word. Alan Ripp, March 5th, 2022. NBCNews.com/opinion, Ukraine has Nazi problem, Vladimir Putin, as denazification claim war, NCNA 1290 study in our next article. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it, George Santayana. All that God has in prophetic history specified to be fulfilled in the past has been, and all that is yet to come in its order will be. Daniel, God's prophet, stands in his place. John stands in his place. In the Revelation, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has opened to the students of prophecy the book of Daniel, and thus is Daniel standing in his place. He bears his testimony, that which the Lord revealed to him in vision of the great and solemn events which we must know as we stand on the very threshold of their fulfillment. In history and prophecy, the Word of God portrays the long-continued conflict between truth and error. That conflict is yet in progress. Those things which have been will be repeated. Old controversies will be revived, and new theories will be continually arising. But God's people, who in their belief and fulfillment of prophecy have acted a part in the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages, know where they stand. They have an experience that is more precious than fine gold. They are to stand firm as a rock, holding the beginning of their confidence steadfast unto the end. Selected Messages, Book 2, 109.